In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Gospel of Christ, I've just said. Does it sound like good news? It is, I assure you. The Bible actually has many points at which it traces ancestry. And it's quite difficult actually sorting out whose ancestor was whose. But it matters very much, it seems, to the people writing it down. And it mattered a lot to the people hearing it as well. It matters that people are familiar. It matters that we know who we're dealing with. And one of the ways in which we know who we're dealing with is by tracing them back. Oh yes, that's so-and-so's lad. Or so-and-so's daughter. We can place them now. We know they belong to us. And of course, for the people of God, there was something more important than belonging to us. It was belonging to God. To God's purposes. And they proudly proclaimed they were part of this great movement of God through all those generations. But they knew, of course, that it hadn't worked as well sometimes as others. The 14 stages of the genealogy. The wandering in the desert, the troubles through the time of the judges, all rather disorganized, very up and down, if you remember the story. And then the time of the kings, some of whom were good and some of whom were bad, some of whom were very, very bad. And then they got carried off to Babylon. About the only thing we're told about that time between the deportation and the time of Christ is lists like this. I don't know who Akim and Eliud and Eleazar and Mathan were, nor I'm pretty sure did Matthew the evangelist. But it was triumphantly proclaimed that this was part of that process. And the names would have been familiar. I don't think anybody here has any of the names that are mentioned here. Not even Amos or... Oh, Ruth, yes, sorry, yes, yeah, Ruth, of course, yes. Yes. Ruth, of course, was the exception in... Well, one of the exceptions to the general rule of that genealogy. A woman! Yes, thumbs up from Ruth there. But if you start looking at the history of those women, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Well, you may or may not remember the story of Tamar. She'd been promised by Judah to his son, having the previous two sons having died on her. He'd said to her, keep yourself pure, be ready for my youngest son. And he'd then gone back on that promise. So what had she done? She'd gone and posed as a prostitute and lured the king into sex with her. And that had produced Perez and Zerah. Excuse my confusion about names. But not exactly a propitious way of tracing the Messiah, is it? You'd expect good people to be involved in that ancestry. Not very good. And then we could go to Boaz. And then Boaz has... Sorry, Salmon. Boaz is produced between Salmon and Rahab. Rahab, in one sense, was good. She let the spies into Jericho. But in another sense, she was a prostitute. Not exactly a suitable ancestor, I wouldn't have thought, for our Lord, for the Messiah. And Ruth, well, yeah, she was a wonderful person. But she didn't belong in Israel. She was a foreigner. So nothing in terms of deserving there, I guess. It's not as far as the original readers of this account were concerned. And David produced Solomon, that great King Solomon. Do you remember who his mother was? Somebody else's wife, who David had taken advantage of and killed her husband into the bargain. So not the best of people in that list. And that's the whole point. It's not good people that God uses. It's the people whom he chooses. The people, if you like, who he makes good. Or to use a technical term, whom he justifies. That's what that word means. And that means you and me. We're here not because we're good, but because God has chosen us, called us, and we've responded. I'm going to read a little poem to you now, if I may, by a man called Michael Gulder, who's a New Testament scholar, died 10 years ago now. Exceedingly odd is the means by which God has provided our path to the heavenly shore. Of the girls from whose line the true light was to shine, there was one an adulteress, one was a whore. There was Tamar, who bore what we all should deplore, a fine pair of twins to a father-in-law. Rahab the harlot, her sins were scarlet, as red as the thread which she hung from the door. Yet alone of her nation, she came to salvation and lived to be mother of Boaz of yore. And he married Ruth, a Gentile uncouth, in a manner quite counter to biblical law. And of her there did spring blessed David, the king, who walked on the palace one evening and saw the wife of Uriah, from whom he did sire, a baby that died, and princes a score. And a mother unmarried it was too that carried God's son and him laid in a cradle of straw. That the moral might wait at the heavenly gate, while the sinners and publicans go in before, who have not earned their place, but received it by grace, and have found them a righteousness not of the law. May that righteousness be ours today and always.